Borussia Dortmund, du bist unser Leben. Borussia Dortmund, du nur ganz allein. Borussia Dortmund, hast uns so viel gegeben. Wir sind dir treu und werden's immer sein.
Welcome to episode 71 of the Dortmund Fan Club London podcast. Time flies when you're having fun. And today we have quite an interesting program to look at. The Premier League are looking at introducing a salary cap. How will that affect other European leagues, including the Bundesliga? A lot of titles have been won recently by the top 10 sides of Europe, especially clubs like Barcelona, Real Madrid, but also Manchester City, Liverpool, and Chelsea, who have vastly bigger means than smaller clubs like many of the Bundesliga clubs and German clubs, but also the Eredivisie clubs like Ajax and Feyenoord and so on. Whilst a club like Ajax might be an absolute giant in a league like the Eredivisie, in comparison to Chelsea or Real Madrid, the amount of money that they have available is quite considerably less. Also on the show today, we'll have a look at Arne Slot, the new coach of Liverpool FC. And our guest has played in the Eredivisie against Arne and has watched his progression over the years. And also, we'll take a quick roundup of the big four or five leagues of Europe in terms of coming to the end of the season and just looking at what this season has basically produced. So, firstly, our guest has played for the Netherlands national team at under 21 level five times, five caps. He is a product, you could say, of the Toekomst. Again, I probably pronounced that really bad. Toekomst, I think it is, of Ajax. And one of the most successful academies in the world, I would say. Borussia Dortmund are up there, but Ajax has certainly produced some extraordinary players over the years. And I actually visited Ajax earlier this season. Our guest also has played for other clubs like Den Bosch, Wilhelmswoe, I think it's pronounced, ADO Den Haag, but also Utrecht, which seems to be a very, very big club in his life, and also Swansea City. And he has also most recently been an under-17s coach at Ajax. So welcome, Cedric van der Goon.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope I got your description right. You've certainly had an incredible career. You've played more than 300 matches professionally, scoring 68 goals. For a winger, that's a pretty impressive goal tally.
Well, I did manage to get a few goals, so that's okay. I was a kind of player that always, during the season, had my goals, but I was never the big goal scorer, you know, like the striker in the team that got most of the goals. But I did all right.
Yeah, very impressive. And of course, British fans remember you well from two seasons with Swansea City, which climaxed with the promotion to the Premier League. And we were just talking before the show about that. And it's quite a club, Swansea City, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Swansea, you know, when I got to Swansea in 2009-2010, that was my first season. They were in the championship. They obviously had a few years before that where they're still playing in League Two. So they did at the time really well. Got promoted my second season in 2010-11 to the Premier League. And I think they did really well because they stayed at the Premier League for five, six seasons, I think so. And they managed to win the League Cup. They became, I think, at the best result, ninth or tenth in the league, which is really a good performance for a club as Swansea.
Yeah,
and eventually they went down to the championship where they play now.
And I have to say, of course, BVB fans would be excited about the fact that you were working with the giant, the legend of BVB history, which is Paulo Sousa as manager.
Yeah, he was my manager at the time. Yeah, the first season. He was actually the manager that got me to Swansea, which, I got along with him really well. Obviously, I know he was a big player for BVB as well. And yeah, after Swansea, he left, I think, for Leicester City. He got, as a manager, many different jobs. But I really, look back on a very, very good season together with him. Yeah.
Indeed, and I believe most recently he's been the national team coach of Poland, and has taken them to the World Cup and so on. But of course, he's well remembered for the '97 Champions League final. And on the show today, as I said, we'll also talk about BVB's performance and their route to the final at Wembley. And of course, you yourself have played Europa League, which is formerly the UEFA Cup. So, talking about the current situation, so the Premier League for years now has basically been head and shoulders above the other leagues in Europe, with the exception of a few clubs which are backed by mostly governments, you could say royal families and major investment funds from places like Qatar, Abu Dhabi, and other rich nations, and also billionaires like Roman Abramovich at Celtic, and also the Abu Dhabi royal family with the Manchester City and similar. And essentially, that's put the Premier League head and shoulders above all the other leagues in Europe. And essentially, the media deal in the Premier League is over £6 billion pounds, compared to, for example, the Bundesliga, which is 4.4 billion. So the amount of money that's been in the English game has really tilted the situation to the benefit of the English game. Recent Champions League winners includes Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool. Have interviewed players, current players who are playing in the Bundesliga, playing in La Liga, and so on. A lot of them have spoken about their desire to play in England. And I know that history and tradition is one of the things that attracts people, England being the founding nation of football and so on. But I believe that also that the huge salaries are another factor, and also the amount of money that the agents are able to earn, which is, for example, double the amount of the current amount of money that agents are currently earning in the Bundesliga. Around about 200 million last season was earned by agents in Bundesliga. In Premier League, it's more than 400 million, 404 million in the current season. So, the agents are making money, the clubs are making money. There's huge amounts being paid to players, and at the end of the day, the English clubs are winning a lot of titles, but the fans are paying the price with these very huge ticket prices. Do you think that essentially having the introduction of a salary cap could benefit other leagues other than the English league?
Well, not just in terms of leagues. I think it's going to be good for the teams that can't compete money-wise with the big teams as well in England as well. So for me, to keep football as it's supposed to be, as entertainment, for the people who love to watch football, I think that it's a very good step to take. I just don't really know right now if it's that easy for the Premier League, to get every club on board, where they accept this decision. I don't know how easy that's going to be, but I do think if they manage to get, the salary cap, if they can manage all the clubs to get on board with it, then it's only going to benefit football but also English football as well.
Yes. So basically, you're making a difference between, you're saying that, for example, the second level of English, let's say beyond the top five, there are also quite numerous clubs who haven't had this same level of success. And what you're saying is that a salary cap could also benefit those clubs that are outside of the top five. Not your Arsenals, your Manchester Uniteds, your Chelseas, and so on.
Well, Yeah, well, the thing is, obviously, you had in the last six, seven seasons, Manchester City and Liverpool, most of the times City won the league. But there are like two teams fighting for the Premier League title. Last year, Arsenal and City were there. But maybe, you know, obviously there's a little gap as well. But if City, Chelsea, you know, who have spent a lot of money investing in the squad, but also Manchester United, who have had a couple difficult years, but maybe they managed to challenge these teams for the title. Then it gets, you know, it only gets the league more exciting. You know, it's one of the things that's why it's incredibly important, I think, in the Bundesliga that Bayer Leverkusen this year won the league. Because after 11 years of Bayern Munich winning the league, it's good for especially these big leagues that there are more teams involved. Do you know what I mean? Because then it's way more entertaining for the people.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. I mean, you know, the antithesis in a way of a football league is Ligue 1, with Paris Saint-Germain having won their 10th title in 11 years, Bayern Munich winning. Yeah. 11 titles in a row in the Bundesliga, and you go back to the 90s with Juventus, or the 90s with in Italy Serie A, or also Manchester United in the 1990s. As much as I loved that Manchester United team, which was remarkable in terms of the talents, and many of them homegrown local guys like Nicky Butt and David, and so on. But at the end of the day, salaries attract superstars, and you as a somebody who's been working as a coach, but also a player, and who's involved with talents and analyzing football and so on. But also in Holland, yourself, you're seeing the Dutch league basically being, you know, a second tier, if you like, of football, because it's been a very long time that a Dutch team hasn't won a European title. I was looking through the salaries, and essentially, you know, as a fan, we could argue in a way that some of these clubs are actually buying success, because, you know, PSG, 300 million euros per season of salaries. Real Madrid, 300 million. Bayern Munich, 255 million. Manchester United, 240 million. And then, as you were talking about the second tier, let's say, of European top clubs, you go down to Tottenham, 130 million, Aston Villa, 130 million, Dortmund, 126 million. And then the formerly great Juventus, Inter, etc. I would call that the second tier. Basically, you're going down to just 100 million. And you have to go very, very far down the list until you start finding, let's say, Eredivisie clubs. As somebody who's a practitioner in football in the Dutch league, which has always historically been a very powerful league, how do you actually, how does it feel, really, do you think, for Dutch coaches and Dutch football clubs, which have a, you know, as I said, a great historical importance in the world's game, the way basically the Premier League has just pushed in and has really bought themselves the success, and also major clubs like PSG,
Yeah, well, this is a little bit what money does, you know. Because I don't think it really changed, because it got a lot more extreme than it used to be. But like 20, 30 years ago, like really, really big players in Holland, they went abroad as well. You know, like Van Basten and Gullit went to AC Milan, and Bergkamp went first to Napoli, later to Arsenal. And so the big players, you know, obviously when they play well, there are going to be big teams abroad be interested in these players. Mm-hmm. But just because the differences in spending money got so big, you know, the step is obviously a lot easier for all these players to go and quicker to go abroad. And that's a little bit for Holland, you know, a huge challenge, because now you actually feel that at a young age already, All these teams, and especially in England, but also in Germany and in Spain, they're already looking to all these players and to get them abroad and to get the best players. Yeah, which means that it's going to be a lot more difficult for the Dutch teams, to be challenging in European leagues. For instance, Jurrien Timber, who went then to Arsenal. You know, obviously that's a huge blow for Ajax, because then they have to try and get a player with the same quality, which is incredibly difficult because they don't have the same amount of money as all these other teams. Or you have to get a really young player from the academy, maybe a big talent, but maybe not ready to play at that particular level. So there's a huge challenge for teams in Holland. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. A coach who's recently come over is Arne Slot, who's come over from Feyenoord, who's about to join Liverpool. Feyenoord under Slot won two titles. They won the double in 22-23. What do you make of this decision to bring him in? Do you think that he was the first choice of Liverpool, and is it a good choice?
Well, that's obviously not that easy to say, because I think one of the things that you're asking me is something that I really don't know. Was he the first choice or not?
Yeah,
I think he wasn't the first choice, because I never heard someone say it from Liverpool out loud. But for my as far as I can tell, Xabi Alonso has always been the first choice, and the moment Xabi Alonso said, I stay at Bayer Leverkusen, that's the first time they were, as far as I know, looking for another coach. And obviously the name of Amorim, the manager of Sporting Lisbon, has always been named as a candidate for this job. So whether he's the first choice or not, I don't really know. But I do think he did really well at Feyenoord, and I can imagine, Tottenham Hotspur, I think last year, was interested in Arne Slot as well. So I can imagine the way he has worked with Feyenoord in the last few years, there are going to be big teams, big clubs interested in him. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was your experience? So you met Arne at quite a young age, in the youth setup of the KNVB Netherlands, and also played, you will have played against him during his career.
Yeah. I must have, yeah. I can't really remember playing against him, but I remember, again, like I said before the show, when I was young, I was playing in the youth academy at Ajax, and I think he was playing at the time in the youth academy of Zwolle, because he comes from Zwolle. And then we got selected for the national youth team, I think the under 15, under 16, under 17. So we both played at the time for the Dutch national team I think it was under 16 or under 17. And there we played together. I remember that it's already a long time ago. But and obviously when he became first a coach, because he first was at Cambuur Leeuwarden. I think he did that a reserves team, and people were already saying things about him, like he's like a manager with a bright future because he knows football and the way he works with the team. Then he got to AZ Alkmaar. He did really well. So yeah, he already made a few steps during his career, and yeah, did really well.
And how does he come across on a day-to-day basis in the Eredivisie in terms of his media personality and also his accomplishments?
Well, I think he's. I think most people in Holland think that he's the way he approaches the media, he does that really well. So I think that, because if you're at a big club, obviously the way Jurgen Klopp did it the last few years, this man is obviously a little bit different than others. He does that so well, and I don't think Arne Slot or people should expect the same person like Jurgen Klopp. Obviously, he's got a different personality, but he's very calm. He talks really easily. Do you know what I mean? He's well spoken. That's the word I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit, how the Dutch people see him as a manager of Feyenoord. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had great success with Feyenoord as well.
Yeah, obviously he did really well because Feyenoord, for so many years, they were actually, we'll call them the number three in Holland. There you got the big three. It's Ajax, PSV, Eindhoven, and Feyenoord. And especially Ajax was doing really well the last couple of years. So when he came in, it's not like Feyenoord was in a really bad position, but not a good position either. And he managed to turn around things and a different way of playing football. I think that's one of the things that if you ask a Feyenoord fan, what's the biggest difference at Feyenoord when he became a manager? I think is the way they played football, because still the same intensity as the the average Feyenoord fan would say all those years Feyenoord would play, but now the football like Ajax is playing, what Ajax used to wanted to play. He got it in as with Feyenoord as well, so that's I think a really that's the best achievement I think he did with Feyenoord.
Now, time for a short announcement. If you love Borussia Dortmund, why not join us for a live game and have a couple of Dortmund Union beers at the Stammtisch meetup of the official Borussia Dortmund fan club in London? We meet on match days at the Fitzroy Wine Cellar on Cleveland Street. For more details, head to our Facebook page or give us a call on 07459-394-121. And now, back to the show.
Cedric, you've been coaching in the youth system in Netherlands, so you've been watching a lot of young players, and you obviously have expertise. Looking at the Feyenoord team, so which players have impressed you in terms of the young players that are currently with the team, which you feel have benefited a lot from Arne Slot's work?
Wow, there are actually loads of players that I think benefited of the way Arne Slot has worked. But I think if I have to name a few, Quincy Hartman, he's the left fullback. He's injured now, but he did really well during the years. Geertruida is one of the players. But also Quinten Timber, he's the brother of Jurrien Timber, which I had both of these players. I had in the Ajax under 17s when I was assistant coach there. Quinten is doing really well. Yeah, these are all players that are benefiting of Arne Slot. Yeah.
Mm, okay. And in terms of Arne's approach, is it very different to other coaches in Holland? I mean, has he brought something very special to take basically the third team in Holland to the very top and push aside teams like PSV and Ajax?
Well, what I, like I said before, as a manager, there are so many things, you need to take into account. And one of the things that I always feel is like a manager, you have this idea about how a team needs to play football, but
yes,
where I always feel the coaches or the managers always already have in their head, this is how I want to play football, but it's not that easy because the team that you've got, they need to be able to play that kind of football. And I think that he really looked well. First he did it at AZ Alkmaar, but now with Feyenoord, okay, what kind of players do I have and how do I get them to play the football that I want to play. And I think that's what he did really well, because the attacking way of football, like he wants to play, it's not something that Feyenoord was really famous for. And I think there's the biggest change that not only that they won the double, that they're playing really well, they got into the Europa League final, the Conference League final a few years back. So not only that, but they did it with the kind of football that was really nice watching, which was not the kind of football Feyenoord was famous for.
Okay, that's interesting to know. Of course, they're also famous for having quite bad fans, which we've seen again.
Yes, well, to be honest, I know during that because there are so many fans. especially with the European in the European League, that misbehave, and obviously you get a bad name. But there's, unfortunately, it's not just Feyenoord; it is all these teams. They manage to spoil some of the good things for so many people. Yeah,
yeah, indeed. I should thank Dennis Gentenaar, the former BVB keeper, for introducing.
Yeah, me. My ex-teammate. Yeah.
Yeah, and his team, unfortunately, NEC Nijmegen, had their final of the KNVB Cup. I think it's called Beker. Is that right, Beker?
Which Beker? Yeah, the KNVB Beker. Yeah, it's what's like the FA Cup. Yeah,
which had to be stopped due to fan disruptions during the final. Fan disruptions are clearly a pretty big issue, including in the Dutch league. But unfortunately, NEC Nijmegen yet again failed to win, and Feyenoord went on to win. So Mr. Slot is coming with silverware in his pocket. However, the question mark that is in my mind before we come to why they actually hired him is: do you feel that coming to a club like Liverpool, the Anfield Road, what's Arne going to be thinking right now? Is it a very, very big club? Let's face it, Erik ten Hag, I thought he was an outstanding coach at Ajax. It hasn't worked at Manchester United so far.
No, but it's a really difficult step and obvious. But the thing with experience... I think I said it to you before. It's a difficult thing. You can get the most experienced manager in the world, and there are so many examples of this, and get them into the club, and everybody has the feeling like, okay, now everything needs to work because this is this can't go wrong, and then all of a sudden it does go wrong because they for some reason they can't get the performances they want, and I think. Obviously, from Ajax to Manchester United is obviously a huge step. But I think that Erik ten Hag really knew about the whole step he was taking. But the thing is, again, the way, you know, you want to play football, the players that you have, does that fit? And all the things around it. And that's quite a difficult thing to manage. And... But, you know, beforehand, the thing is, Arne Slot does really well at Feyenoord. You can't really say right now, okay, he will be able to do it or he's not able. It's really difficult. I think that you really need to take a look at the club, at the people in management. Do they really do their homework very well? Do they do all the research they need to make a really good decision? And I feel, you know, like Liverpool get everything. You know, it's not just a decision they made like, you know, in one day. So I really feel they make this decision based on good research, and apparently they think Arne Slot did so well, and we have the feeling if he comes to Liverpool, he can get us to perform maybe even better than we do now. Well, then I think that you should go with the decision, and we need to wait and see how it works out. Yeah.
They've paid £10 million to Feyenoord. In terms of the Dutch game, which you know very well, it's pretty much unheard of in Holland, isn't it, to pay 10 million, 11 million euros for a coach?
Yeah, that's not something that happens a lot. No. No, well, the thing is that's really difficult to say because, you know, Erik ten Hag brought a few players that he worked with before that hasn't worked out, you know, for all of them. So I think if I were Arne Slot, I would be not. You know, normally you hear more often managers that go to a club that they bring in players that I worked with before, and I can imagine at because they know these players. Do you know what I mean? So they kind of know what they bring in, but it's dangerous as I said with Erik ten Hag. So if you can get good players, I would be first look around before you get players from your former team.
Yes.
But obviously, if Arne Slot is really convinced about a certain player at Feyenoord, that he brings extra quality to Liverpool, yeah, then he probably will, yeah.
Yeah, they've done a very clear analysis in terms of the style of football that he plays. And as you say, it's very team-based and very good team spirit within the Feyenoord. Yeah. And basically, Slot is regarded as a coach that is looking for aggressive possession-based football with very high intense pressing, which is quite similar to the type of game that Klopp brought to Borussia Dortmund that you played for, but also to Liverpool. But how is he going to manage with the big stars, players like Mohamed Salah and so on? You know, Liverpool yeah. is not a small club.
No, but that's true. And you can't, like I said before, it's really difficult to say that beforehand, but I don't think Arne Slot is the kind of person who will do all sudden different things, you know. So it's like his style of managing the team at Feyenoord, which he did before at AZ, is going to be exactly the same with Liverpool. And, you know, now this little thing with Salah, and whether it's little or not, I don't know, with Salah and Jurgen Klopp, you know, yeah. that I'm not really sure that's going to affect anything with Arne Slot later when he at this time they're not even there's not even as far as I know a confirmation that he's actually going to be the Liverpool manager, but the chance he is going to be, it's obviously really big. But if he starts as a Liverpool manager the next season, I think he's going to do exactly the same thing as he did at Feyenoord. So, in terms of football, it's going to be probably not exactly the same as Jurgen Klopp, but there are a lot of similarities in the way of football they play. Yeah.
Interesting. Absolutely. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what comes, but Arne Slot clearly brings success, including this season as well, obviously last season. He's bonded together a really good group of players, no major international stars, but certainly very, very recognized talents in the Dutch league. With a reasonably efficient amount of money, and not a huge amounts of money, do you think he's going to find the challenge of buying? He's going to be working with a lot more money in at Liverpool, right? Much bigger budgets, much bigger players, transfers, and so on.
Well, you really have to, because the wages they ask is going to be a lot higher. So you need the money, I think.
Yeah. And what's been the response to his appointment in the Netherlands, in the football industry in Netherlands and on television, in the media and so on? Has Arne said anything about the move to Liverpool?
Well, just a few things, but he made clear that he's really looking forward to this step, and hopefully the club's are going to come to an agreement, because this is going to be a big step for him. And that's the kind of things that he said so far. But I think the way people feel about this move, obviously, all the Feyenoord fans, obviously they don't want him to go from Feyenoord. So they're a little bit disappointed to see him leave, but at the other hand, they understand this is a big step for him. And I think all the other people in Holland, they're only happy that another Dutch manager is going to be working at a really, really big club in the Premier League. So I think the general way of thinking in Holland is really positive, yeah.
Yeah, and indeed we have a history in the Premier League of Dutch coaches with players with coaches like Gus Hiddink at Chelsea, and also Louis van Gaal.
Louis van Gaal, at Man United. Yeah.
Some of them have been successful, some less so, and those two are perfectly good examples of successful ones. I think Ronald Koeman also did very well at Southampton, basically.
Southampton, yeah.
The time
later, he went on to be a manager at Everton. Yeah,
but perhaps that went slightly less well. But then on the other end, of course, you have coaches like Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace, which were an abject disaster in spite of him being one of the most wonderful footballers of a generation.
That can happen.
But let's just come to the big European leagues. It's towards the end of the season now. There's some really pretty big changes that has happened in the landscape of European football. And some of the clubs have actually been very surprising. Let's just start with the Premier League. I think the big surprise of the season has been Unai Emery's Aston Villa.
Yeah, they are doing really well. They have a magnificent season, although I feel... you know, during certain games when they are not at their best, then they are really, really bad as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like there have been games that you just don't recognize the Aston Villa of this season. And that's the only thing you can find about this team. Because I do think otherwise they could have been maybe even higher up. The table, but they have a magnificent season, and ever since Emery came to Aston Villa, he changed everything so quickly, because they were obviously in a really bad position with Steven Gerrard. Things didn't go really well, and then when he came in, things changed pretty quickly, and they have an incredible season. Yeah,
and indeed doing well in Europe, and I believe that you saw them playing in Ajax recently.
Yeah, I've been to the game at Ajax Aston Villa. So we went to the stadium and saw them play there. Not one of their best games, if I'm honest. But they're actually playing the semi-final tonight. So they can have a really really huge season if they get European success as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. I remember as a child in 1982 when they went to Rotterdam and beat Bayern München 1-0. Peter Witt scored the goal. And tonight, obviously, my eyes will be glued to the Olympiacos game. I have to say Fiorentina, who would probably, in my mind, be there, they play against in the final, are not going to be easy to beat down either. I went to watch Olympiacos at Norwich City in the summer. And a real big flair club as well. But I think Aston Villa are big enough to knock them out, I would say. At the other end of the English table, Everton look like potential candidates for relegation. I think that would be a big loss for English football.
But Everton is not going to be relegated. I think they're already safe.
Yeah. Okay.
So they obviously they beat Liverpool, which was one of the best performances of Everton this season, and it made a lot of Everton fans really really happy beating Liverpool. I think they had points. I can't remember. I think they drew the last game. I think they're safe already. And Everton is a really big club, so it would be really bad for English football if they would gone down to the Championship. But they are staying up unless something happens another time with points deductions. But I can't see that happening again.
Absolutely. Well, they're 10 points clear of a relegation spot, but there's three games left to play. So I would have to concur with you, and we'll just take that as a slip up on my side. Chelsea, however, in ninth place, pretty damn poor for the kind of money that they've invested.
Really bad, yeah.
I don't think there's much to say about that, except that it just hasn't worked out so far. Apart from that, I guess Erik ten Hag isn't going to be too satisfied if they miss out on even the conference, qualifying for the conference.
No, that's obviously for Manchester United and the ambition that Manchester United has and the goal that they had this season. That's a really big disappointment. Yeah.
We talked about the Bundesliga beforehand. Bayer Leverkusen has lit up all of us this season. Do you see them managing
Absolutely.
To finish the season without a loss?
Yeah, I'm actually, especially now last weekend when, again, they drew the game in the 97th minute, then you kind of have the feeling that it can't go wrong with Bayer Leverkusen. I have to say that they can actually win the cup as well. The Baker in the final against Kaiserslautern.
Yeah,
and obviously a final is never easy, but I can't see them not winning that one. So I have the feeling they're going to definitely win the cup, and the European is a way bigger challenge. I think they play against AS Roma now. Yeah, which is obviously a really good team. So I think that's going to be a really big challenge for them. But Bayer Leverkusen is in an incredible form. So yes, to be honest, I see them win the European Cup as well. Yeah.
Well, they've got Augsburg, VfL Bochum, and Frankfurt still to play.
Yeah.
I see VfL Bochum, if everybody, being a banana skin, because Bochum are desperate not to get relegated, and indeed should.
I imagine. Yeah.
But I would say that apart from that, as you say, they should be able to get through the season. And as a former player yourself, how hard is it to get through a whole season unbeaten? Have you ever managed that at youth level or any level?
Yeah, maybe at youth level, but not at the level they are playing. But for me, Leverkusen, not even the way, to be unbeaten for a whole season, that only tells about your strength. And that's the thing that I like about Leverkusen, also at their championship game, where they actually, where Xabi Alonso had, I think, even Florian Wirtz, and I think he had Frimpong and a few other big names on the bench.
Yeah,
and it didn't really affect the way of play. Obviously, Florian Wirtz came in the second half and he scored three amazing goals, so he does make a difference for the team. But when they started out playing the game, the whole way of playing was still the same. And I think that's a really big strength of Xabi Alonso and Bayer Leverkusen. It doesn't really matter who's playing. They all know exactly what to do. And it's it doesn't change anything. And that's really a massive performance of them. Yeah.
It's been a beautiful season, absolutely. And I think Xabi Alonso has done the right thing by committing to a club like Bayer Leverkusen that's well-funded, well-organized. And they've managed to break the spell of five consecutive attempts to win the Bundesliga title and failing, for which they earned the moniker Vizekusen, Weisskusen, or Neverkusen. And finally, that's
over. Neverkusen, yeah, I heard that one before. Yeah. So they... But to be honest, the game when they became a champion, like 10 minutes before the end of the game, when you saw all the fans on the pitch and they really had to get these fans off the pitch, that already, you could see what it did for all those fans. So that was really nice to see you.
At the opposite end, and I would just quickly like to emphasize that Stuttgart have managed to qualify now for the Champions League, and great to see VfB Stuttgart as well. I've interviewed some of their former players as well, like Bernd Klotz, for example, on the show. Really good guy. So hi to Bernd. At the other end of the table, Borussia Mönchengladbach are very, very close to the relegation zone. Just a couple of points above the relegation zone. I think it would be hugely sad to see Gladbach go down to the second tier like Hamburg and Schalke.
Yeah, absolutely. It only makes the second Bundesliga, Bundesliga 2, it only makes it a lot stronger. But obviously, there are a few teams there that, based on the history, they should actually play in the Bundesliga. Because to be honest, I don't see you mean Cologne, because
Mönchengladbach. Also, FC Cologne looks like they'll go down as well. Another big club that have won the title several times. Yeah. Cologne, pretty much, it looks like they're 5 points away from safety. I can't see them at all being able.
No, they are definitely not gonna. They're gonna play. They're gonna go to relegate. Definitely, yeah. I don't see them get all these points in the last few games.
And Union crashed as well. They've crashed right down again. They'll just manage to survive.
Yeah. It's going to be a challenge for them to stay up because you still have the. I think it's a playoff game for the number 16 in the Bundesliga, so they don't get relegated straight away. But they have these players, so that's a little bit between Mönchengladbach, Bochum, and Union.
In my season preview, I predicted that VfL Bochum will make 16th place, and I'm going to stick with that. Just looking very, very quickly at the other big leagues in Europe, Inter Milan have won the title, and Napoli have crashed down to 9th place. I think Napoli can be very, very disappointed.
Incredibly disappointed. I think they're, I don't know if it's already a done deal, but I think they're trying to get Antonio Conte as a manager and try to change things. But sometimes these things happen, which, you know, things can change, like Napoli, but the same thing is with Union, that did really well and played actually a Champions League this season, but now also then still fighting for safety. And with Stuttgart, actually, the last couple of years, you know, always had a difficult season. And this year, all of a sudden, managed to get to Champions League. Yeah, sometimes, you know, with these teams, that can happen. But at all, it's also a little bit what makes football fun to watch. You never really know beforehand, yeah.
Talking about fun to watch, Girona, who are managed by Pep Guardiola's brother, have made a beautiful season in La Liga. Personally, I generally stick to Bundesliga and English football, and believe me, I have enough work to do just writing about those guys. But Girona have been an inspiration, a small club, very small club, have been leading the Spanish league for most of the season. They've dropped back now to third place. My home team of Real Mallorca are still battling against relegation, but they managed to reach the Copa del Rey, the Spanish Cup final, which they lost, unfortunately, but it was still beautiful to see them in the cup final. It looks like basically Real Madrid will once again run away with the league there.
Definitely.
Head of Barcelona. Personally, my brother Oscar loves Real Madrid. I can't say that we share that passion. I don't like these big corporate clubs. I like the smaller clubs, the fighting clubs, clubs like BVB and Atletico Madrid and Feyenoord and other similar smaller guys. Any thoughts on the Spanish league before we wrap up?
Well, the thing is that I'm mostly looking at games from Premier League and Bundesliga, but I still follow a lot of the games from certain clubs in different competition, as well as Serie A and definitely the Spanish league. Because to be honest, I've seen Girona play a few games where they play really, really nice football. Daley Blind is a former Ajax player. He went to Girona. So it's fun to see him play and actually see the doing them really well. To be honest, they're only 2 points behind Barcelona at the moment, I think. But I think they're probably will end third in the league. But that's a really good performance of them.
Yeah,
and yeah, Real Madrid, you know, is obviously they showed in the Champions League as well. Probably just the best team this year, yeah.
Borussia Dortmund, du bist unser Leben. Borussia Dortmund, du nur ganz allein. Borussia Dortmund, hast uns so viel.